We're wrapping up a series called Stand Firm. And the whole point is that in life, there are times when we have to stand firm regardless of what's going around us. We talked about when the series started, how do you stand firm in the face of battles? And then we talked about how do you stand firm when there's pressure to compromise? Last week, we talked about how do you stand firm despite what you're feeling? So this morning, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever, in your experience, asked God a question? You just ask him a question. I need insight. I need understanding. I need wisdom. I need some type of discernment. We ask him a question, and then you find yourself waiting for an answer. And waiting. And waiting. And waiting. Maybe you asked him, God, just help me to understand why things have turned out the way they turned out. I know it can't be changed, but it's not the plan I thought. It's not the way my life was going to thought. I'm not where I thought I was going to be in my career, my marriage, and my family. God, give me some understanding. God, give me some insight into my spouse. Like, I willingly married this person, and now I am so confused by them. I believe for 31 years my wife has asked that question. She's still waiting for an answer. Maybe you said, God, I just need some understanding and discernment on how to handle a business situation. It's a big decision, and I don't want to make the wrong one. Maybe you're saying, God, I need an answer on how to help heal the heart of a hurting child. My child has just got this wound, and I don't know how to help them. Maybe it's, God, I need some understanding on how to navigate my anxiety and my depression, my mental health issues. Whatever it is, you've cried out to God, and you've asked him for an answer, and you find yourself waiting and wondering, did he hear? Is he going to answer? And you're just waiting and waiting and waiting. And the fact about the matter is, often when we ask God questions like that, it's not really that we're asking him to do something. It's not, God, do this. What we're asking is, God, say something. I just want to hear your voice. I want to hear from you. I remember one time in my life going through perhaps the most difficult time I'd ever experienced in ministry. It was horrible. And I remember there was a handful of people that when they would call me, when they would reach out to me, just hearing their voice brought comfort and peace. My mom or my dad, my in-laws, a man who's a mentor in my life. And I would hear their voice and they would say, I love you and I believe in you and you're going to be okay and you're going to get through this. Just was like, oh, just hearing them helped. It wasn't that I expected them to fix anything, change anything. They really couldn't. I didn't really expect them to do anything. But simply hearing their voice mattered. And sometimes when we're waiting for God to answer, that's what we need. We just want to hear his voice. And yet, when we're waiting and we don't hear his voice, we start wondering, did he hear? Does he care? Is he going to respond? We can echo the words of David, great king of Israel, who wrote so many of the Psalms in Psalm 22. He says this, I cry out day and night, but you don't answer. And I can never find rest. In the waiting, we get worn out. We get tired, we're exhausted, and we're wondering, God, did you hear me? I believe you still speak today. I believe you still answer. I believe that you respond, and yet for some reason you haven't, and I'm so tired, and I'm exhausted, and I don't feel like I have anything left, and I can't even find rest. We can feel like that. And so what I want to do this morning is talk to those of you who may be in a season of waiting. And you're exhausted from it. And you're just saying, God, I just need to hear your voice. And you're hoping to and you're wanting to. Because here's what I know. We're going to look at a passage of scripture that I believe is very powerful and very poignant. And it will help you if you're in a season of waiting. Or whatever time in the future that you step into that season of waiting, it's very likely you will. Because I have found that if you're not in a season of waiting right now, at some point you may be. So I want to look at this, but I know it's a very complex passage. We're not going to be able to unpack all of it. But there are some insights into this that I believe will help us navigate those seasons of waiting. So I'm going to read from the book of Daniel, chapter 10, verse 3 through 19. I'm not going to read it all in straight through. I'm going to skip around a little bit. So if you have your Bibles, you could turn there, do your best to follow along. If you don't, the verse will be up on the screen. Let me give you a little backstory. Earlier in this chapter, Daniel had received a great vision, a revelation from God, but he didn't understand what it meant. And so he begins to cry out to God. He enters a season of prayer and fasting, and he goes, I need an answer. I need understanding. I need wisdom. I need insight. I need discernment. He begins to cry out to God, and we're going to pick up the story there. If you have your Bibles, Daniel chapter 10, verse 3. I'm going to ask, if you can, if it's hard for you to get up and down, that's fine. But if you're able to, would you stand and honor God's word as I read this morning? So Daniel speaking, he said, I did not eat any rich food, no meat nor wine entered my mouth, and I did not anoint myself until the 3 weeks were over. So it's 21 days of fasting. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the banks of the Tigris River, I looked up, and there was a man dressed in linen with a belt of gold around his waist. Only I saw the vision. The men who were with me did not see it, but a great terror fell on them, and they ran and hid. I heard the words, and he said, Daniel, you are a man treasured by God. Understand the words that I'm saying to you. Do not be afraid, for from the first day that you purposed to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your prayers were heard, and I have come because of them. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia has opposed me for 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. I have come to help you understand what will happen to your people. And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now, and I ask that in these next few moments, God, you would give us insight, understanding. God, that you would strengthen us so that we can stand firm when we're waiting for an answer. Rather than shrugging our shoulders, assuming you don't care, thinking you've forgotten how to speak, God, we would learn to wait for what it is that you have to say. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You can be seated. So here's Daniel. He enters into this season of prayer and fasting for 3 weeks. He's saying, God, I need to hear from you. I need an answer. And he's waiting, he's wondering, and he's worn out, and he's exhausted. And for some of you, you can identify with that. You've cried out to God, I need an answer. I need an understanding. I need some type of insight into how to handle what's going on in my life. And you're waiting, but you're like, Pastor, it's not that I've been waiting for 3 weeks. 3 weeks is nothing. I've been waiting for 3 months, 3 years, 3 decades. I've been waiting a long time. And I am worn out and I'm exhausted. And I'm tired of standing on the banks of the river just waiting and wondering, does God hear? Does he care? I have got a word from the Lord for you. We just read it from the first day that you cried out to God for understanding. From the first moment that you said, God, I need an answer. He heard you. He heard you. God still hears, God still listens, and God still responds. I promise you, God has heard your prayers. He hears the cries of your heart. He knows what it is that you're desperately needing to hear from him. And I promise you, he will answer. What I can't tell you is when he'll answer. But he will answer. And sometimes we get so tired of standing there on the banks of the river just waiting and waiting that we say, I can't wait anymore. But I'm telling you, wait, wait on the Lord, because when he speaks, he's gonna speak something directly to you, something specific for you, something that you need to hear that's just for you. But we need to learn to wait for the answer. So often, because we don't get the answer in the time that we want, we run ahead of God. And we can't do that. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3 says this. It is not yet time for the message to come, but that time is coming, and it's coming soon. It may seem like a long time, but be patient and wait for it, because it will surely come and it will not be late. You may feel like you've been waiting a long time. You may feel like I've been on the banks of this river for way too long. God, why is this not happening? But God says, he promises the message will come at the right time and it won't be late. It may not be when you wanted it, but it will come. But the key is you have to wait for it. Everyone say, wait for it. Sometimes you just gotta wait for it. Sometimes you just gotta be patient. We get ahead of God and he says, no, just wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. If you're joining us online, put in the chat, wait for it. Put that into your heart. Dump that deep inside of you. When you're sitting there and you're saying, God, I need an answer. I need understanding. Wait for it. Sometimes we say, I've waited a day. I've waited a week. I've waited 3 weeks. God says, just wait for it. Just wait for it. It will come. I know it seems like a long time. I know it feels like it's never going to happen. I know that you think I've become silent, but I haven't become silent. Just because you don't hear anything doesn't mean I'm not doing anything. And so God shows up to Daniel. And it's amazing. It says this man shows up and he's wearing linen. He's this white and he's got this gold sash. And then you can read the rest of it and it explains in more detail what he looked like. And most Bible scholars will tell you it was a Christophany. Now, what that means is Christ means Christ, the anointed one. Often he means appearance. It was an appearance of Jesus before the incarnation in the Old Testament, a Christophany. And when you read the description of him, it's very similar to other apocalyptic end time writings. Daniel is one of them, Revelation, Ezekiel. It's very similar in how it describes Jesus. So I believe it's Jesus shows up. So the point is, sometimes you're waiting and you're wondering, but I'm telling you, God will show up and he will speak to you. You just have to wait for it. And I can't tell you when it's gonna happen. It may happen today during the baptism service. You're there watching someone get baptized and all of a sudden you hear something and you go, that's the answer I've been waiting for. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen when you're driving in the car and you just have a quiet moment. It could happen through a song that you hear on the radio. It could happen when you're reading the Bible and you read a passage that you've read a dozen times before and all of a sudden you read it and it jumps off the page and you say, that's the answer I'm looking for. It could happen during the sermon. When I say something that I wasn't planning on saying and in my mind it's just a filler and yet it hits your ears and it fills your heart. Because it says that sometimes what God speaks to you is just for you. See, here's Daniel, and he's by the river, and he's waiting, and it's been 3 weeks. And all of a sudden, God says, I've got the answer. I'm going to give you the understanding that you've been waiting for. And Daniel says, I'm the only one who heard it. I'm the only one that saw it. Everybody else was filled with terror. They ran away. But I heard the voice. There are times God has something just for you. And it's not for anyone else. Or it's not for anyone else at that moment. Daniel heard it. Now, he preserved it through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it's for us today. But at that moment, it was just for him. And so you hear some line in a sermon, and it hits your ears different than it hits anyone else's because God says, this is just for you. I've had people say that to me after a sermon. That was great. I love that. I'm like, I don't even remember saying that. I remember one time I was praying for someone. I didn't know them. I had introduced myself one time. I didn't really know anything about him. I knew he was a little bit older than I was. He had adult children. That's all I knew. I didn't really know much about him. But he asked me, would you pray for me? There's a time of prayer and ministry happening. God's moving. So I said, absolutely. I'd love to pray for you. So I began to pray. When I pray for someone like that, it's almost like a conversation, a three-way conversation. I'll hear God speak things to me or show me pictures. And so I just pray what I see or what I hear. And sometimes I have no idea if it's going to make any sense to the person. But I'm like, I'm just going to be as obedient as I can. And so I was doing that. I was praying for his kids. And I don't remember what I prayed. Most of the time, someone would say, what did you? Well, I don't remember. And I certainly don't remember now. This was years ago. And when we were done, but I remember this. When we finished praying, he looks at me and says, how did you know the name of my kids and their ages or their birth order? I said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, when you were praying, you prayed for my kids by name and you named them in the order of their birth. I said, sir, I don't know your kids. And I did not say their names. He says, you did. As God is my witness, I did not say the kids' names. I remember, I didn't say, I know what I said. I mean, I might not remember what I said, but I would remember if I said their names. But here's the point. It was God had an answer for him that was just for him. I didn't even need to know the names of his kids. But as I spoke, it hit his ears in a very specific way. And God says, I have that for you. I have an answer for you, but you just have to wait for it. You have to wait for it. And here's what's amazing. It says that when Daniel waited, he was tired. He was exhausted. He was worn out. He was tired of standing on the banks of the river just saying, God, are you ever going to answer? But when he heard the voice of the Lord, he was strengthened. See, God's voice is meant to strengthen us. It might strengthen you physically. It might strengthen you spiritually. It might strengthen you emotionally. But I'm telling you, when you hear that voice, when you hear that answer, when God speaks to you, when you hear the Spirit of God whispering to you from heaven, you go, okay, I've been encouraged. I've been built up. I've been lifted up. I've been picked up. That's why the psalmist says he's the glory and the lifter of my head. He lifts us up. And then beyond that, it says of Daniel, you are treasured by God. You're loved by God, but you know what? So are you. You're loved by God. You're treasured by God. You're precious to him. And when he hears the cry of your heart and he says, just wait for it. The answer is coming, but I will strengthen and I will encourage and I will pour into the ones that I love. He's talking to you. So if you'll just wait for it, you will hear God's voice at some point. I can't tell you when, but I'll tell you, he will speak. I promise you. And when he does, it's going to build you up. It's going to strengthen you. It's going to encourage you. It's going to remind you that he cares about you, that he's with you. Right? Jesus showed up. He's with you. He hears the cry of your heart. He knows the pain you've been through, and he will answer you if you'll wait for it. But so many of us get ahead of God because we don't want to wait any longer. But if we'll just wait for it, God has something amazing to say. So why is there this seeming delay? Why do we sometimes have to wait for what God wants to reveal to us? Well, sometimes it's because he's working in us. But there's a couple other reasons. One is this. Sometimes you're waiting because God is warring. Right? It said Jesus showed up. And he's there. And Jesus is like, hey, I was delayed. The prince of Persia, he opposed me for 21 days. Now, I can't begin to explain to you all of what that means, but then it says that Michael, who's one of the archangels, showed up and fought alongside Jesus. What that's telling us is there is a spiritual realm and there is a war happening and there are battles raging all around us unseen. And we have no idea what's happening in the heavenly places. And sometimes God has unleashed the messenger. He has sent forth the answer, and yet the spiritual forces of darkness are trying to oppose him. They're trying to delay him. He's trying to make it so that we can't hear and receive what it is that God wants us to hear, to receive, to get that answer. But I'm telling you, God won't be thwarted. His answer will come, but you may just have to wait for it. The problem is so many of us don't think in terms of the spiritual. So many Christians are so practical that they've forgotten the spiritual. But there is a real spiritual realm, and there is a real spiritual enemy, and he is fighting. I'm telling you, if your parents, there is a spiritual battle happening right now for the hearts of your children. And you better take that serious. It's not just, let me just give them everything they want and they'll be happy. Let me just give them the practical things and they'll be provided for. You have to get on your knees. And dads, if you're a dad that's involved in your kids' lives, you have to lead the battle. Passive dads just get grow a pair. I'm sorry, it's church. I shouldn't have said that. But I'm telling you, dads that are like, well, I can't pray with my kids. I can't pray for my kids. My wife, she's more spiritual. Stop it. You gotta wage war. Get on your knees. Fight for your kids. And you know what? Sometimes fighting for your kids, sometimes being that spiritual leader means that they are going to hate you. They're going to be mad at you. Hate me now and love me later. Be mad at me now. But one day you'll say, oh, thank God that dad took the lead. Thank God that he was a man of God that he was supposed to be. Thank God that my mom was a woman of God who prayed faith into my life. Thank God that they prayed and fasted and sought the Lord for me. And they contended for my spirit and they fought for me. But when they're 16, 15, 12, 20, they're going to be like, just get out of my life. Leave me alone. I got it all figured out. And you're like, you don't have it. When I was your age, I didn't have it figured out. And you know, you got my brains, so you don't got to figure it out either. There's a spiritual warfare going on for your marriage and for your relationships and for your spirit and for your heart and for your faith. We have to take that real. We have to consider those things. So listen to me. Waiting isn't a time for whining. Waiting's a time for warring. So many of us, well, God, why I got to wait? Fall on your knees and fight. Get into the battle because there is a war waging. And here's the encouragement. God is fighting for you. He's fighting on your behalf. He's not asking you to fight on your own. He's asking you to come alongside him and get into the battle. But sometimes you have to wait on the answer that you want because God is warring on your behalf. He knows that he has to prepare some things around you, in you, situations. He has to break through in certain areas so that when the answer comes, everything will be as it's supposed to be. So sometimes there's a delay because God is warring. Here's the other thing. Sometimes there's a delay because you're not listening. So often we think God's not speaking, God's not speaking, God's not speaking. It's not that God's not speaking, it's that you're not hearing. So Jesus makes a statement. He actually makes it a number of different times or something similar to it throughout the New Testament. In the book of Revelation, he says it over and over to the seven churches that the book of Revelation was written to. In the Gospels, he says it a lot of times when he's speaking to the crowds or to the Pharisees or to even his followers. And it's something along this line. I'm going to read it from Revelation chapter 3, verse 22. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. Let he who has an ear to hear listen. I remember growing up thinking that's the most ridiculous thing I've heard. It doesn't make any sense to me. Let he who has an ear to hear, hear. Well, isn't that what ears do? Like, let he who has an ear to hear, hear. Well, what else would I do with my ears? Part of the problem is Hebrew doesn't always translate real well to English. And Greek doesn't translate real well. So it breaks down. But what it's saying is if you have a desire to hear, if you have an ear that wants to hear, the key is you have to be willing to listen. And so many of us are unwilling to listen because God's speaking. He heard the cry of your heart. He heard the prayers the first time you prayed. He knows the cry of your heart. He's responded, but we're not willing to listen because we don't like what he said. And so he's calling out to us, be at peace, rest, stop, don't respond, don't talk. I know you've got it all figured out. I know you have a college degree. I know you have a lot of education. I know you have all this experience. And you think that the way that this situation should be handled is based on all of that. But I'm telling you, if you'll humble yourself and if you'll listen to me, I'm going to give you a different path, one that makes no sense to you. But if you'll follow it, it will get you to the place that you need to be. And yet we say that doesn't make sense. Like, I know what my kid needs. I mean, God, I'm asking you, but I'm not really listening because I know what my kid needs. And God says, do you? Because they're where they are because you did what you did. So maybe if you want them to be somewhere else, you need to do what I'm telling you to do. And we plug up our ears and we're unwilling to listen. So God's saying, I want to lead you. I want to guide you. I want to direct you. I want you to hear my voice to calm your anxious heart, to give you a settledness, to give you insight, to give you direction. And yet we're unwilling to listen because God speaks and we don't like what he says. And sometimes what happens is we heard God and he said something to us. And we didn't like what he said. And so we did our own thing and we did what we wanted and we didn't want to listen to God. And then years later, we're crying out to God, I need an answer. And the answer he gives us now is the same one he gave us then that we didn't like. So you're wanting to be in a relationship. And God says, nope, not her, not him, not now. You're not ready. But you don't like what God says, so you don't listen. And you do your own thing. You get into that relationship. And the relationship goes on for months and years. And you end up, you end up living together. And all kind of immoral behaviors happening when you live together. But the relationship is stressed and your life isn't going the way you want. And you say, God, what am I supposed to do? And he says, the answer is the one you already heard. Get out of that relationship. Stop living together. Stop living an immoral life. And you say, but I don't know if I can do that. I mean, if we stop living together, that's going to be really expensive. That means two apartments. That means two rents, two of everything. And I've cultivated an appetite for the immoral lifestyle that we're in, and I don't know if I can do without that. And God says, see, you don't really want the answer that you are asking. You want to hear what you want to hear. And so sometimes there's a delay in getting what we want or hearing what we want or receiving what we want or stepping into what God has for us because we don't like the answer that he's giving us or unwilling to listen. But at some point we have to say, okay, God, I will honor you. I will respect you. I will listen to what you said, even if it costs me. Because when you do, all of a sudden God moves in amazing supernatural ways. So here's what you need to realize. Sometimes you're waiting because God's warring, and sometimes you're waiting because you're not willing to listen. But when you're waiting, it's not a time to worry. Waiting isn't a time to worry. Waiting is a time to worship. God, I praise you for who you are despite the delay. Waiting is a time not to withdraw, but to press into the word, to remind yourself of what God already said through the scriptures, to revive yourself of what he's already done and how he's moved before. Because if he's done that before, he'll do it again because our God is a faithful God. Waiting is, I told you, it's not a time to whine. It's a time to war, to press in, to find a way to overcome those obstacles, to say, God, there's opposition. There's things that are opposing my life and opposing my ability to hear you, but I'm going to fight against it. And here's the amazing thing. Sometimes the obstacles to hearing from God are the very things he ends up speaking through. I think about Balaam and his donkey. Here's Balaam, like he's a prophet of God and he's on a mission. He's like, I got places to go. I got curses to call down. He's walking in rebellion to God. And yet his donkey becomes the obstacle, the delay to what it is that he thinks he needs to do and where he thinks he needs to go. But God says the donkey is the very thing I'm going to speak through. So sometimes there's an obstacle in our life and God says, right, I want to speak to you through that. Sometimes we say, God, I just need that answer. And he says, okay, I'm going to give you the answer. And it's not what we like, and so we don't respond. But God says, I want you to have peace. I want you to rest. I want you to slow down. I don't want you to react out of emotion. I want you to react through the gifts of the Spirit. I don't want you to respond out of anger. I want you to walk in my peace. God says, I want you to give. This just happened not that long ago. Someone said to me, this was a number of months ago, they said to me, Pastor, God's put it on my heart to give a substantial gift to the church. I said, great, I love substantial gifts. I said, wonderful. And then days turned to weeks, turned to months, turned almost half a year, and nothing ever happened. And so I thought, you know, they heard God, but they didn't listen to God. Because they didn't like what God said. It sounded really good at the time, but when you got to write that 5-6-figure check, you're just like, So I heard God, but I don't want to listen to God. And then on Friday, unexpected, shows up a very substantial gift from that person. I misjudged them. Or maybe they were wrestling with it internally. I don't know, but here's the point. They heard God, and they were willing to listen. We have to get to that point where we say, God, I'm willing to listen. I'm not going to whine in the waiting. I'm not going to withdraw in the waiting. I'm not going to begin to worry in the waiting. I'm going to worship you for who you are. I'm going to praise you despite the delay, despite the pain, despite the uncertainty. I'm going to wait for it even though I'm exhausted standing on the banks of the river. I'm going to wait. I'm not going to withdraw. I'm going to get into your word and I'm going to fight. And when you do, all of a sudden you hear God speaking to you. I just don't know when. It'll speak to you about your marriage, about your situation, about your struggles, about your health, about that relationship. And all of a sudden, things begin to happen. Things begin to change. See, when God answers, he answers in amazing ways. He answers in incredible ways. My dad made me memorize some verses in the Bible growing up. One of them was Jeremiah 33, verse 3. It wasn't from the ESV, but here's what it says. Call unto me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. You know why I love this verse? Because God doesn't say, call unto me, and if I really like you, I'll answer. God doesn't say, call unto me, and if I have an answer, I'll give it to you. He doesn't say, call unto me, and you know, when I have some free time, I might flip you off an answer and send it to you. I'll text you if I remember, but you know, I got a lot of other texts coming in, so if I forget, don't worry about it. He makes a promise. If you call out to me on the very first day that you humble yourself and you seek understanding and you pray to me, I'm making a promise to you. If you call to me, I will answer you. That should give us great comfort and peace. But here's the best part. He says, if you call out to me, I'll answer you. And I will tell you amazing things, deep things, mysterious things, wonderful things, things that you couldn't understand on your own. In other words, when you finally hear God answer, what you'll experience is this. When God finally answers, it's always worth the wait. Waiting is not a waste of time. Because when you wait for it and wait for it and wait for it, when God gives you that answer, it's more than what you thought it would be. It's greater. It's a deeper insight. It's that mystery that you didn't understand. It's that ability to have the understanding that unlocks the key to that relationship, that helps you finally find victory in that thing that you're wrestling with. It's how do I relate to my child who's wounded and hurt and broken and distant, and you think I need to handle it this way. And God says, because you're operating on what you know, but if you'll do what you don't know, because I'm speaking to you about things you could never know. Because I knit them and womb them and form them in their mother's womb. And if you'll handle it this way, things will be different. We have to be willing to wait for it. God will unlock some things, great and deep and mysterious things. But it means we have to be willing to wait for it, to wait for it, to wait for it. And that is so difficult. But in the waiting, we need to position ourselves like Samuel. When Samuel, the last great judge of Israel, Samuel the prophet, when he was just a young boy, he's there serving in the temple of the Lord, in the house of the Lord. And Eli is the high priest. And one night, Samuel's sleeping and he hears a voice. And it's God, but he doesn't know it's God. He thinks it's Eli. So he goes, Eli, what's up? What do you need? And he woke me up. He's like, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep, boy. A little while later, hears a voice, goes to Eli. Eli, what do you need? Why do you keep waking me up? He's like, it wasn't me. And then Eli's like, I'm the high priest. Maybe it's God speaking to you. If you hear the voice again, ask God to speak to you. And this is what Samuel said the third time he heard the voice. Speak, for your servant is listening. Speak, I want to incline my ear, not just to hear you, but to listen to you. I want to hear what you have to say. In the waiting, there may be war happening. In the waiting, God is still working. God is positioning. In the waiting, you may be tired of standing on the banks of the river, but in the waiting, if you just keep saying over and over, speak, Lord, I'm listening. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. At some point, God will speak, and it will be incredible. For some of you this morning, God may be speaking to you, and what you're hearing is he's saying, come home to me. Come to me. You're tired. You're weary. Your life isn't working the way it's working. God is calling you into a relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, who came and lived a perfect life and died a brutal death. And he died that death, and 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. Why? So that if we cry out to him and say, God, I'm sorry for the way I've lived, the things I've done. Would you please forgive me? He'll forgive us. And then he'll say, now, I want you to live a different way. I want you to not just ask for forgiveness, but I want you to follow me. And the way he asks us to live isn't easier, it's harder, but it's better. The easy way is the way you want to live, but that's not working. The hard way, the narrow way, the difficult path is one of self-denial that says, I won't live the way I've lived, I'm going to live for you. But when we hear his voice calling us, because no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit calls him. And when we hear his voice and we respond to him, we start this new life and this new journey. And all you got to do is pray, God, forgive me for my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Allow me to have the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit so that I can follow you. And he'll do that. If you ever pray a prayer like that, just let us know. Because then you're part of God's family and you need to be connected to a church. So whether it's Hickory or another church, let the people of that church know so they can help you on that new path. But for some of you this morning, you've been waiting for an answer. And you said, God, I need that answer. I'm desperate for that answer. And I believe if we will have this same spirit that Samuel had, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. He's going to speak to you this morning. So what you need to do is say, God, I believe that you can speak, and I'm ready to listen. If that's you this morning, right where you are, just every eye closed, every head bowed, if you would just raise your hand and say, I'm waiting for an answer. I need an answer. I've been waiting. Could be days, weeks, months, years, decades. I need an answer. I've been waiting. Maybe this morning, God, if you'd be so gracious, would you speak to us? God, we believe you can. So we say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Just pray that together. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Let's say it again. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. God, speak right now into our hearts. Speak through this next worship song. Speak through us. Speak to us this evening or through our dreams. But God, speak. We want to hear your voice. We're desperate to hear your voice. And when you speak, God, may we hear you remind us that we're treasured by you. We're loved by you. When we hear your voice, would it strengthen us? Would you remind us that if we're waiting and waiting and waiting, it may be because you're warring for us. You're battling for us. And just because we don't hear anything doesn't mean you're not doing anything. So God, do your work. Position us, strengthen us, encourage us. Help us to stand firm in the waiting. But God, I pray that as we worship you here this morning, we would hear your voice speak. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? We're going to sing one last song. And here's my encouragement. We're talking about giants and mountains, that God can overcome them. It can feel like a mountain or a giant in your life when you're waiting for that answer. But our God is faithful. So let's sing this and let's believe that God's going to speak right now to the mountains in our life.